and welcome to episode 20 of the Well and Wild podcast. I'm Susie and I created the Well and Wild podcast really to inspire you to do work that really makes you happy rather than work that society says is the right thing to do. So we've done 20 episodes so far. I've really enjoyed it. It's been 6 months since I started this podcast. And I just want to take a moment to thank you to all of the listeners for supporting me over the last 6 months with a relatively new podcast. I received such amazing feedback and you've all been so great, and I just want to send you a lot of love and appreciation, so thank you. And if you're new here, just a little bit of background. So I worked in corporate jobs for about 6 years after uni, all sales jobs in banking and tech, but never really finding something that I really loved. And I always had that itch to kind of go out on my own and start my own business, but never really had the confidence or the mindset or just the idea, the faith in the idea to just actually take the action and go and do it until the start of this year. And I decided to quit my job in tech, go to Bali, train as a yoga teacher for a month, come back and start my podcast and my coaching work, and just build the brand Well and Wild. So it's been a really exciting time. I haven't looked back. It's definitely the right move for me. And yeah, it's super exciting. And I just want to use this podcast as a platform to inspire you to do the same thing, if that kind of story resonates with you. I just believe that society kind of puts this pressure on us about one career path and one way of doing things, and that tends to be going to uni, going out, getting the best corporate job possible, getting the best salary possible, then putting down a deposit for a house, getting married, having kids, and that seems to be the path that society pressurizes everybody to do. But actually, I believe that there's no right time, there's no timelines that we should have preset for ourselves, and there's no career that necessarily we should stick to. It's okay to jump around. It's okay to figure out what we want to do. So on this podcast, I bring together a collection of interviewees and guests where they have traditionally started out in corporate, so a very conventional kind of career, realized that it wasn't for them and they didn't really want to do it. And often actually it's kind of they've hit quite a low place because they're spending so much of their life doing something they don't really enjoy. But you kind of get a bit stuck, don't you? Because you think, well, this is what I should be doing. This is what everybody does. It pays the bills. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But yes, I bring my guests on because they've recognized that. And however long it's taken them, they've then decided to take a risk, go out on their own, start their own business. Some of them have started product-based businesses. Some of them have gone into personal training, yoga teaching, loads of different types of businesses. I've even had a stuntman on here. So yeah, I just really love to showcase their stories to inspire you that actually the route that you're on doesn't necessarily need to be the route forever. And a lot of these people who are doing unconventional things may have started out in conventional routes just like you. So I am bringing you this intro from Australia. I landed about a week ago, so I have now officially left the UK. So for those of you who don't know, I actually chose back in April it was, I actually decided that I was going to move to Bali this year and live the digital nomad life. It's something that I have always been fascinated by. It's a lifestyle that always has appealed to me. And it's just, I recognize that in this day and age, I feel so grateful that we live in this time where we can earn a living and see beautiful places at the same time with the level of technology that's out there. And that's just something that I really want to take advantage of. So yes, I left the UK last week. It was emotional, to be fair. I have had such an incredible summer, and I've realized how, you know, Well, I knew my friends were supportive, but honestly, when you move away and something like this, you just realize how incredible all of your friends are. And I think sometimes you take these things for granted. And I've just, you know, felt really humbled by the whole last few months. But yeah, I miss people already, but I know this is the right thing for me to do at the moment. And I'm just really excited about all the opportunities that it's going to bring. So at the moment, I have come to Australia for 2 weeks just to spend the 2 weeks with my parents, some real chill downtime. They live here in Southwest Australia. And really where they live is super, super remote. It's absolutely stunning, like white beaches, blue crystal clear ocean. But yeah, there's really not a lot to do. And I kind of wanted that intentionally. I kind of wanted to get a little bit bored so that once I get to Bali, I can just be like, go, go, go. And London's been a bit crazy as well. So just really enjoying this chill time. Can't wait to get to Bali. And yeah, if anybody has been thinking about moving abroad, I would really suggest you go and listen to one of my solo episodes about moving abroad. I'll link it in the show notes as well, but I chat all around the decision process, what it's been like, and advice for anyone that's thinking about doing that. So yeah, check that out. So this week we have an amazing entrepreneur on, Nia Davies. She is super inspiring. She actually started out doing a medicine degree and quickly kind of realized that despite that being such a sought after route in life, it wasn't really something that she enjoyed or wanted to do for the rest of her life. And actually by spending so much time and energy at uni studying something like medicine, it was really, really getting her down, the fact that she knew that it wasn't really what she wanted to do. So she ended up dropping out of medicine. She goes into that in a lot of detail on the podcast, which I think is such a courageous decision. And I'd really admire her for looking after herself at that point and recognizing that actually, yes, I've invested this time and money into this course, but really this is at a detriment to my own health at this point. And you know, what's my priority here? I'd argue that your health is the most important. And Nia then went into the startup world doing various different roles for different startups, which she still does today, actually. She also side hustles and she has an incredibly successful blog called niafaraway.com. You should definitely check it out. I've got it linked in the show notes. And she writes, there's some insane content on there. She writes all about the wellness industry, lots of sciencey articles, things like biohacking and CBD and stuff like that. You should definitely check her out. And then she's also started her own CBD product-based business called Eugenial. And that, we talk a lot about how she built up that brand and how she learned all about e-commerce. And it's just a really inspiring conversation. I love how Nia does like a multitude of things. And she is just super inspiring. And I really, really enjoyed chatting to her. And I'm trying to persuade her to come out to Bali with me. So yeah, I hope you enjoy this episode. I'd be very grateful if you could send it on to one friend if you enjoy it, as I'd love to grow the reach. And I think Nia's message is really important. And I'd love to share that with as many people as possible. But please enjoy the episode. And I shall chat to you after. Welcome, Nia. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. It would be great if you could start with a little introduction to yourself for the listeners.
Yeah, so I'm Nia, and I'm working on a wellness brand called Eugenial at the moment. And I also run a blog on the side called Nia Far Away.
Nice. And we'll go into that in a lot more detail later on. But initially, I'd like to start with your decision to study medicine.
Yeah.
So let's chat a bit around how you decided to study medicine in terms of your degree and how you came to that decision.
Yeah, I mean, the medicine thing is a funny one.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I was 18, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I come from a family of doctors.
Okay.
And obviously medicine's a good degree, so
yeah.
I'd always considered maybe philosophy or psychology, but I think the consensus was that you know, medicine was the way to go.
Yeah, if you can get in, you might as well choose medicine kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was sciencey, I thought, okay, I'll like get the degree and then I'll reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
But I think medicine's one of those things where you've really got to know that it's the vocation for you.
Yeah.
And it's very tough to do it with that mindset of just, oh, I like science, so let's just see how this goes.
Right, yeah. And yeah. It's a long course as well, isn't it? Even if you just want to, like, do the basic, it's like 5 years or something, right?
Yeah, it was 6 years.
6 years,
so it was,
yeah.
So long. And yeah. It was just really hard, you know. I don't like blood particularly.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah, I fainted in the operating theatre.
Oh, no.
Just found it really emotionally tough.
Yeah.
Like, it takes so much, you know, such a high self-esteem to be able to handle that responsibility.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was quite difficult.
My sister's in her third year of medicine, actually, and, like, it's just so interesting when she tells the stories of, like, uni. It's completely different to most people's experiences.
Yeah.
But, like, an amazing thing to do. So what did you think of it at the time? And, like, you said you had a couple of instances where it wasn't really necessarily, like, something you enjoyed, but, like, what was your overall experience?
I mean, I definitely enjoyed the parts which involved like making new friends, trying new hobbies, and I did like some of the science, but I think I always struggled with the more clinical side. Mm-hmm. Just that feeling of walking into hospitals and thinking like, I just don't know if I'm meant to be here.
Mm.
I don't know if I want to try something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, that feeling of, is this going to be the rest of my life? I don't really know anything else. It was just, yeah, I didn't really know what to do about it.
And I've wondered about that, actually, because when you do choose medicine, you are, like, the career at the end of it is to be a doctor, basically, or whatever, under that umbrella. But what if you aren't necessarily sure? Like, did a lot of people feel that way? Or, like, what do you do at that point? Because really, like, if you come out of a medicine degree, I guess you could go and do something else.
Mm.
But it's a bit like, why, you know, the opportunity cost of learning so much about the profession.
Mm-hmm.
So what, like, did other people feel that way? What did you decide to do with it when you started to feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, I went through a very prolonged existential crisis.
Yeah.
And I know I wasn't the only one. I do think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Because you do have to decide so young, you know, at 16,
exactly.
You've got to start planning your work experience and your GCSE choices.
Yeah.
And it is a lot harder to leave and come back than people realise, because everyone always just said, we'll do the degree and get it and then you can just try something else and come back. But it's not as easy as that. And it's the same with a lot of careers, I think, you know. People think it's easier to do that than it necessarily is. So.
Yeah, and a 6-year investment as well. It's not like a conventional degree. Okay, so did you finish medicine?
I dropped out for my finals. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about that decision, because that's pretty courageous.
It was so tough.
Yeah, so let's walk through that. Like, what happened and how did you ultimately decide to do that?
I mean, the decision was kind of made for me towards the end.
Okay.
Because I got to my fourth year, so I'd done my BSc, luckily, so I had a degree.
Okay.
But I was just totally burnt out by then. I think just pushing myself to do something that I didn't want to do for that long really took it out of me.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I want to do something else. I went to the med school, I went to the head of welfare, I went to my family, and obviously there was only 2 years left, and everyone said, just finish the degree. Like, if you leave, you won't come back, just do it.
Mm.
So I, like, pushed myself through those 2 years, but I think, you know, I'd just, like, gone. And by the end, I was quite ill, and the med school was like, take a year out, but I just didn't come back after that. So I had my year out, and I was like, you know what, I don't think it is worth going back for me.
Yeah, especially if you felt like that. Like, I know how it feels to be doing something that you really don't want to do. And I mean, I even did, like, a placement year as part of my course, and I was not enjoying that, but I had to finish it because you had to
do that to pass the year, basically.
Yeah.
And that was only a year, so I can't imagine what it was like doing it for longer.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the hardest things.
But I didn't know that about medicine degrees, that you do 4 years and you get a degree and then you do an additional. So what is the additional 2 years for?
Also, like, it's different at different med schools,
right?
But there's 4 universities in the UK where you have to do an intercalated degree. So
right.
I went to Imperial, which was one of those.
Okay.
Maybe because of the dropout rate, I'm not sure, but just to ensure that you do have a degree. So it was quite lucky that I went there, otherwise, you know, I was left with no degree, and that would be real shame.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, so you ended up dropping out.
Yeah.
You weren't feeling great at this point, but did you kind of immediately feel like that was the right decision?
Yeah, I knew it was the right decision, where even though I went through such a hard time, and I did, obviously it's disappointing to have to let it get to that stage.
Yeah.
But the sheer relief that I felt was kind of a sign that, yeah, that wasn't really the right space for me at that time.
Yeah, that's amazing. I felt like that when I quit my job. Okay, so then what did you decide to do after that? Did you go and get like a corporate job?
So that's when I had a little break in Bali for a bit.
Okay, nice. I love a break in Bali.
Like,
does wonders.
A little bit. Yeah. Just kind of got away from it all and just thought about what I want to do next. And then that's when I started the fintech role, because I'd always wanted to get up into startups. Like, I'd been doing a few things on the side at university. So I had the blog, I was going to lots of Eventbrite and table crowd events.
I bet we went to similar events.
Yeah,
probably. Didn't realise.
Just sort of getting to know the people in the scene, and I'd been to a startup conference in Beirut, so already had a feeling that that's the kind of thing that I wanted to know more about.
Yeah.
And then that's when I came across the fintech role and started doing that and keeping up my hobbies on the side. So I felt like the creative release was quite therapeutic.
Yeah. And what did you do for the fintech company?
So fintech, it was junior associate, so it was like working with other entrepreneurs. It was doing a bit of everything, like meetups, workshops, to daily admin and social media. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And how did you feel about that situation? Because a corporate job is very different to what you were heading towards doing with the hospitals and stuff.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy it, or like, yeah, what was your experience?
Yeah, I mean, because it was a startup, it was like less corporate, but it was very busy. And I just felt it was nice to be trying something different.
Yeah.
I was still in that space of, I just want to figure out what I want to go for. And so it was nice to be able to try lots of different things, but also meet lots of people doing lots of different things. Because the reality, like when you speak to people about what they're doing, is always very different to, you know, how it's presented or what you see online.
Yeah. And I think in a tech company as well, people tend to come from lots of different backgrounds in terms of degrees or like wherever they come from, if you know what I mean, into tech. Because it is still relatively new industry when you compare it to some of the more like classical industries. And so, yeah, I expect that that helped in terms of like hearing about lots of people's different stories and kind of being able to compare what people have done and find your own path.
Yeah.
Okay, so then at what point did you decide to start looking at entrepreneurship and starting your own business? Was that kind of always something? So when you say you were looking at the startup scene and going to events and stuff, was that from the perspective of a job and a career, or was that from the perspective of you're interested and you might want to have your own business one day?
I definitely went into it wanting to know more about how to run your own business. So getting the experience was helpful, but then I think there's nothing like learning how to do it by just doing it.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah, and I'm definitely a learn by doing type person. So I suppose you could spend the same amount doing a course, or you could just set something up and see how it goes. And you know, it's my first business, so I am realistic about it. Like, I do see it as a learning opportunity rather than expecting it to be the next Lancome.
Okay, so then at what point did you decide to start working on something, or at what point did you start to get interested in kind of the wellness industry?
Yeah, I mean, I'd always been interested in the wellness industry because I was writing for Dr. Fi app in my last year.
Nice.
Yeah, and I was going to like the well-to-do events.
Yeah.
So I knew that was an industry I wanted to get into because everyone was so friendly and like,
yeah.
You know, it says a lot about the industry, the types of people that are in it, and quite like-minded people, I felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I always knew that was the industry I wanted to do more in, and then I felt like something to do with blogging, something to tie in with what I was already doing would be quite complementary, and you know, Shopify makes things so easy.
Yeah.
So I felt, set up an e-commerce platform,
mm-hmm.
just start to learn more about digital marketing, e-commerce, wellness in general.
Nice.
Yeah.
And how did you start learning more about e-commerce? Because yeah, Shopify does make it easy, but at the same time there definitely are some things to learn.
Oh, yeah,
and then especially if you're not from a tech background.
I'm still learning this.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
But it's useful to kind of like explain how you go about learning it and picking it up.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to learn by trial and error.
Yeah.
It's been the same thing with blogging, marketing, social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's all been trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can watch the occasional YouTube tutorial,
yeah.
and you ask people that you meet what their kind of strategies
mm-hmm.
are. And it's just experimenting, yeah. That's like the scientist side, I guess, like just go and experiment.
Yeah, I love a YouTube tutorial. Sometimes when I need to set up these microphones, the podcasts, I forget and I have to like look it up on YouTube. It's great.
Yeah.
Even though they're meant to be plug and play. But yeah. Okay, that's great. And then, so at this point you were blogging for another brand, but were you blogging for yourself as well or just...
So the blogging was mine.
Yeah.
That was
okay.
my own blog that I was
okay.
writing on, yeah. And
nice.
I've been doing that since uni.
Yeah.
And it was just things that I was interested about that I wanted to learn more about.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I was interested in mental health and
mm-hmm.
health in general, wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a bit about Bitcoin and fintech. So
nice.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Okay, cool. And so at what point then did you get into like the CBD stuff? What point did that happen?
Yeah, so the brand's evolved a lot since I started it, which
yeah.
is one lesson that I learned, which is, I thought that it would be nice to kind of share the behind the scenes process as I was going along.
Yeah.
But I don't think that is necessarily always the best thing to do because it changes so much. Like, you know, it's nothing like what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So then I think people are a bit surprised by what you finally come out with because they're like, this isn't what you were sharing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got interested in CBD. Obviously, it's a huge industry.
Yeah.
Still a little bit of a grey area, so it is kind of a risky area to get into at the moment. You know, a lot of payment providers don't support CBD products, so I've had to integrate different payment providers. You can also pay with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people use that option. So it is taking a risk, especially for the first time I've ever done something like
yeah.
this. And I have been speaking to possible co-founders and there
mm-hmm.
are a few older ones who don't want to get into something with that level of risk.
Really?
But I'm doing it because, you know, it's interesting and
yeah.
It's something that opens up the opportunity to talk about things that I'm interested in, which are like drug policy, mental health, plant medicines. And it's something that I love taking myself, so yeah.
Let's chat a bit more about it because in all honesty, I don't know too much about it, but I'm
okay.
hearing it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested, especially because you have a medicine background, like a Western medicine type background. I'm really interested in your perspective on it.
Yeah, I think that's the funny thing about starting this brand because even though I did come from that very traditional background, when I started the wellness brand, and obviously, you know, I was working on myself at the same time and I did find a lot of the holistic therapies like very gentle, very healing. You know, I didn't want to start antidepressants. It's a personal choice and they do work for a lot of people, but personally I felt like I wanted to give other things a go first, like lifestyle modification, exercise,
and
diet.
What reason did you decide you wanted to try those things first?
Just because pharmaceuticals do have withdrawal effects, you know, I'd had them before when I was at university, the SSRIs, and they can increase your anxiety when you come off them, and in some cases you can end up on this vicious cycle of like you take them, you come off them, you get the withdrawal effects, so you go back, you get them again. And you know, there's some research to say that they can modify the receptors in your brain.
Really?
So I was keen to try something more preventive first. Yeah. And because I'd felt like a lot of how I felt was tied to doing something that I didn't like, I felt like now that I wasn't doing that, that was part of the therapy anyway.
Yes, yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, so then I was kind of looking at other means of kind of looking after your health and supplements that you can take. And there is a lot of research coming out about cannabidiol. You can't officially make any claims yet, but Israel is sort of leading the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think culturally they've used cannabis for quite a while in Israel. Yeah. And there's a lot of medical cannabis companies coming out there in the pharmaceutical industry. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting space to watch. I think it does have a lot of potential, yeah.
And let's chat a little bit about the products. So in what form does it come? What do you do with it? Like, what benefits does it tend to give you and what does it help?
Yeah, so CBD is a cannabinoid, comes from the cannabis plant, or the hemp plant, we could call it. You know, some people hear the word cannabis and they think, oh my God.
I get really confused of all the different terms around it, to be honest.
It's got such negative connotations.
Yeah.
And in a way it does make sense because, you know, street cannabis is not therapeutic cannabis. It's bred to have a lot of THC and not much CBD. And THC is the bit that gets you high.
Right,
and
okay.
And causes the psychoactive effects. And CBD is, it's said, if it's bred in the right ratio, that it's meant to negate some of that, which is why they breed it to have less CBD in the street form.
Okay. I'm with you.
But you can isolate CBD, and there are other cannabidiols as well, like CBG and CBC. And it's said that if you have them all together, then they work using the entourage effect.
Okay.
So it's meant to amplify its therapeutic benefits. But you can buy a CBD isolate by itself, or you can buy a broad spectrum, which has all of them together. So on our website, we've been selling both. We've got isolate and the broad spectrum. So there's two orals, which you take as like a supplement oil.
Okay.
And then you can also have it topically. So if you put it on your skin, it's better for sort of local targeting and like... they say it's good for psoriasis and eczema. It's got anti-inflammatory effects. So we've got a body oil candle and a terpene head roller.
Wow, a head roller, that sounds nice. So the tablets then, what are those supposed to help with? And is that something that you take when you're feeling particularly rubbish, or is it something that you would take like all the time?
So instead of tablets, because you can get capsules, we've got just the
oil,
which you take with a drop of pipette.
Right.
Those two are currently out of stock, and we're not sure if we're going to restock them just yet, because the legislation is a lot stricter on the supplements than the cosmetics.
Okay.
But
is that because it's stronger or anything like that?
So the whole issue is about the Novel Foods Act, and they're basically, there's an argument that there isn't enough sort of safety research on taking CBD orally just yet.
Okay.
And the CBD companies are arguing that hemp has been used for ages, since ancient times, and its safety profile seems to be fine. But especially when you add it to food, it can change the structure.
Okay.
So the argument is, well, I mean, there definitely needs to be more regulation around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see if we restock that one or not.
Yeah, that's interesting, because the whole, when we talk about like a new sort of industry or a new product like this that doesn't really have any regulation around it, but due to the very nature of what it is likely that people probably would want that around it. But then it has so many amazing benefits that people are seeing, so it's kind of like there is a market for it, but then at the same time you don't want people to be capitalizing on like the benefits when their products aren't like up to scratch, or they don't have enough like concentration of it in there, or you know, when you were just saying all the different acronyms of like CBD and all of that, if they don't have like the right like measures of that and stuff, I imagine there's like lots of different ones popping up doing all sorts of claims at the moment.
That is the huge problem in the industry at the moment, like especially if you go on marketplaces.
Yeah.
There are just so many bad quality or
really
rip-off sort of like fake brands.
Really.
And it is just people capitalizing on it being a
yeah.
trend because the regulation isn't good enough. You
yeah.
can kind of tell by the pricing a lot of the time. So on Amazon, there's a lot of very cheap 1,000 milligram oils. And
okay.
to get a CBD oil that pure, you just can't price it at that
really.
Price. But I'm sure a lot of people are buying it and then
yeah.
just taking cooking oil and then
oh,
wondering
no.
why it's not working.
Oh,
or why
God.
They didn't, you know, haven't seen any benefits.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. So for the listeners then, in terms of... If they, I mean, they may not have had, I'm sure they've heard the term, they probably haven't necessarily tried it. Who is a good candidate for using some of these products, like, and why would they use them?
So, I mean, they have so many different applications.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I like to use it for anxiety and
mm-hmm.
just as like a everyday health supplement.
Yeah.
And you know, it's proven to have neuroprotective benefits
mm-hmm.
And antioxidant benefits. But I think so long as you're not on too many medications, because you know, we still don't 100% know about possible interactions.
Yeah.
As long as you're quite fit and healthy normally, and there isn't a big risk of any
mm-hmm.
side effects, not that any have really been shown,
mm-hmm.
And not pregnant or breastfeeding, over 18. Then it should be safe to use.
Okay. And what was your experience when you first started using them?
Yeah, so I use a CBD isolate in the morning and then a broad spectrum in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the biggest benefit that I found was sleep.
Okay.
Especially at the beginning of this year, I really struggled with sleep.
Mm.
And you know, maybe there is an element of placebo, but I think
yeah.
you could say that about conventional pharmaceutical treatments as well, which is why if you buy Nurofen, it's in a shiny packet and you pay twice the price for the colour red instead of just a standard
pill. Yeah, such a good
pill.
Point.
So I think like the most common feedback I hear from people is they say, I take it, I don't really know if it's doing anything, but half the work is you kind of making a ritual out of it.
Yeah.
And you saying, I'm going to take this to help me sleep.
Because yeah.
that will be half the work done for you.
Yeah, and almost
so.
A belief that that is going
exactly,
to do it.
Yeah.
So,
because I think people don't want to do that because they don't want to feel like they're cheating themselves.
Yeah.
When the irony is you're cheating yourself if you don't.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And actually that reminds me of something I saw on your website in terms of when I was reading about your story and how you have this interesting perspective of Western medicine, but then equally people underestimate the power of like the placebo effect, and in terms of like the power of the mind in terms of healing and things like that. I'd love to kind of talk a bit about your thoughts around that, especially because, and I imagine you've been around a lot of people that would just shut a lot of that down because
mm.
they're from the Western like medicine
yeah.
area, I suppose.
That was something that I became really fascinated with when I left uni, and I think that was what drew me to a lot of the more alternative Eastern practices, because they do really work in synergy with the placebo effect and the power of your own mind. And I
mm.
think that's what Western medicine kind of neglects a lot of the time,
mm.
because it's so reductionist and it's so focused on, and also it's a lot of it is funded by the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah.
And you know, 90% of pain medication now fails at the placebo stage, but they've not really got any interest in investigating placebo as a standalone option, because you can't really make money out of that, it's not profitable.
Yeah.
So that's what I found the most interesting, was working in synergy with your mind.
Mm.
And a lot of Western medicine kind of does the opposite in a way. You know, you go in and you're told that something is wrong with you, and you're told
yeah.
that XYZ could happen, and it's always like the worst possible prognosis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of scary in a way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I'm learning so much more about the Eastern kind of, well, I guess not just medicine, but just culture, I suppose. And I've heard that they tend to say, yeah, we in the Western culture, we tend to say there's something wrong with you. But in the Eastern culture, they say things, you're just out of balance, like something's out of balance, which is
yeah.
a really interesting perspective when you think about it like that, because I can see both sides.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really interesting. And I think like, that's where the wellness industry is stepping in to kind of fill that gap of Eastern culture that we haven't really had here, and it's like preventative health, which we haven't really focused on. We've just been like trying to solve the problem once it's happened, kind of thing. But yeah, it's a really interesting topic, I think.
Yeah, you're right, it is more like preventive and curative, like,
yeah,
you know, Western medicine is great for emergency situations, like you can't beat it on that front.
Yeah,
but in terms of preventive lifestyle adjustments and like looking at the effect of community and connection, like Eastern remedies,
yeah,
and theory does seem to serve that a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's chat a little bit. I wanted to chat a little bit about the decision to upskill yourself whilst working in corporate to kind of benefit your business as well, because that's something that I think I did, and I'm really pleased that I did it, and I think it had a lot of impact on me being able to just put things in place immediately once I decided to take action. And I think being in London as well, we're surrounded by so many opportunities to, one, network, two, go and learn something. And sometimes a lot of these events are free as well.
Mm.
So what kind of things, I know we chatted a little bit about it then, but what kind of things did you do to intentionally upskill yourself on some of these areas that you didn't necessarily know about?
Yeah. Rather than like intentional planning,
yeah,
it's always been like, in hindsight, it looks like that,
mm-hmm,
but I think it's about being resourceful is,
yeah,
what I found the most useful thing,
because, mm-hmm,
you know, you can always kind of plan ahead in your mind, but you never really know what the situation is going to be until you get there, so it's just about getting there and then,
yeah,
thinking, okay, what's the next best step?
Yeah.
And yeah, I think things just kind of fell into place by pursuing what I was interested in. And just using what was available.
Mm.
But I have always tried to take things that will benefit what I want to do on the side in some way. So trying a bit of everything, you know, doing the fintech to learn more about startups, then keeping my blog on the side was what helped me get the marketing and partnerships position at Nike.
Yeah,
And then doing that was what helped me get the PR position.
Yeah.
So I was able to cycle through a few different things, and like try and learn about a few different areas through doing, and also through getting paid to learn those areas rather than paying to learn those areas,
yeah,
which was definitely useful.
Yeah. And did you use any other sort of resources aside from like externally to your job, in terms of, I know events was one, any other kind of resources from the kind of perspective of if the listeners are thinking about starting a business but they're not quite there yet and they need to educate themselves on certain pillars that they know they don't have very strong skills in, what kind of resources would you advise them to look at?
So aside from the events, there's General Assembly, which,
yeah,
is really good. Yeah,
love
they
them.
Run free workshops, so,
yeah,
you can ask people at those events. So Eventbrite, General Assembly, Table Crowd was good.
Mm-hmm.
Asking everybody in my contact book.
Yeah.
Udemy is quite good for,
yeah,
courses as well, but you can get free versions on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And someone gave me a login for the Tai Lopez courses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how good they are yet though, because I just got that recently, so I'll check that out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. General Assembly is amazing, and they do remote webinars as well for people that don't live in London.
Mm.
But yeah, I feel like we probably went to similar events,
yeah,
at the same time.
We've probably been in the same room.
Yeah,
before.
And the other one that's good as well, I found, was Google Campus, was quite good as well.
Okay,
yeah,
I haven't been there yet, actually.
Yeah, they do some good ones, very much more on the tech side, but interesting ones and good networking.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what's your view on the side hustle? Because this is such a term that's so trendy at the moment, and everyone's saying, oh, everyone has a side hustle these days.
Mm.
But like, I don't think that's necessarily true. And also, I think it is a great way, a low risk way to go into the business world, and especially ultimately if you want to run your own business full time, it's a great kind of stepping stone to doing that. How have you found it, and would you recommend doing it that way?
Yeah, I'd definitely recommend a side hustle, because my side hustle has been kind of the thing that's helped me get the positions that I've got, because it's your chance to express yourself in a way, and yeah, show people what you're about, otherwise you're just kind of another CV.
Yeah.
And your side hustle can become your job, or your side hustle can help you get your next job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you definitely sacrifice a bit of your social life, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never really been the kind of person to chill at the pub every Friday.
Okay.
And I don't watch a lot of TV. I think that has its upsides and its downsides.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, you know, on the upside, you are constructive with your time, but you don't really switch off.
Yeah.
And sometimes my mind just like doesn't stop.
Yeah.
So putting in the meditation and learning to switch off,
mm-hmm.
Is important. And you know, it is important to do all those things. So
mm-hmm.
that's something that I've had to try and get better with, is learn to value that a bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely recommend having a side hustle.
Mm. That's really interesting that you say that you used it in terms of in an interview setting and getting and using it to get another job,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like a lot of people shy away from telling their employer about it, but it's interesting that most people looked on it favourably with you.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I have wondered if I should put it on there, especially because I write about things like, you know, medical cannabis,
yeah.
and, you know, some quite...
conversation starter in an interview, I guess.
Out there things like Cambo, which is like... this frog poison that you put into burns on your skin.
Oh wow.
So sometimes I have wondered, but you know, at the end of the day, if it's something that they want to discuss, then they should
yeah.
bring it up, and I'm happy to discuss it.
Yeah.
And yeah, even though it did kind of, you know, what I said about social life, like it can become your social life in a way, because
mm.
you meet like-minded people and it's really fun. So
yeah,
yeah.
I bet some people were really curious as well in the interviews, because I bet they don't really come across someone that like has all that going on sometimes.
Yeah, it can be a good talking point.
Yeah. Okay, so do you have any advice for other people who might want to start something on the side as well?
Yeah, I think just do it.
Yeah.
Like the Nike slogan, it's so cliche, but it's because it's just so true. Like, just do it. If you don't like it, you don't have to keep doing it.
Yep.
And I think, you know, before people start, it's kind of the dread of, like, looking at the mountain in front of them, because you have such high expectations.
Yeah.
And like, oh no, I can't start it when I know that it's going to look so crap.
Mm.
But just do it. Like, be okay with it looking crap, and
mm-hmm.
then modify it as you go along. So when
mm-hmm.
I started my blog, I didn't tell anyone for ages, and then it just kind of grows from there.
Yeah, I think there's so much truth in just starting to do something, because I think you can always think, oh, it isn't good enough, I don't know enough, but then like when does that end? Like, when are you gonna know enough? Do you even know the benchmark you've set for yourself, kind of thing?
Yeah.
So I think there's so much truth in just doing it and then shaping it as you go along, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that stops people, and the thing that I still struggle with, and like a lot of people still struggle with, is you're obviously worried about what other people are gonna think.
Yeah.
And you know, I definitely have had like difficult times with that, but I also think that the more you put yourself out there
mm-hmm.
and do something that you enjoy, if there are people that don't like it, then you're not really meant to be friends with those people anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, so, and it brings new people into your life.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
I totally agree with you, and I think that if someone's being negative towards you and what you're doing, it's usually a representation of something going on with them rather than, or even like a sort of jealousy thing, I suppose. But yeah, I think also just on the point of starting, like the sooner you put something out to market, the sooner you can get feedback and tweak it and make it better more quickly.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the thing that most people worry about in the first place, which is just quite funny.
Yeah, and like the other thing people worry about is they're like, oh, I've got to kind of read up and learn everything about
yeah.
it before I do it.
Yeah.
But you just can't, like, you know, knowledge is infinite. You just have to do it and then just learn as you go along. And
yeah, and when you get to something that you don't know how it works, that's the thing that you need to watch a video on at that point, and then you tick that box and you move
yeah.
on. You don't like, and to be honest, the truth of it is, if you tried to learn everything before you started, you're gonna forget stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just inefficient,
and it's never the same in theory as in practice.
Yeah, that's
like,
so
know, you
true
put it into practice and that's all these other problems pop up, or like
yeah,
you know, it's just totally different. So
yeah. And what about things like managing your time, especially when you've got a job and you're doing this business? Do you structure your day in a certain way? Are there things that you do to kind of balance those two things?
I mean, it's definitely difficult sometimes because you get back from work and you're just like, oh, I'm so tired. And
yeah.
My schedule is always quite busy, so kind of thinking about when I'm going to put it in can be stressful sometimes because you're like, when am I going to, you know, I've signed up to a gym recently and I just haven't been. And you feel like a bit of a fraud because you're in the wellness industry.
Yeah.
But you feel like you're not really kind of the epitome of working out 5 days a week yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like learning to take it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. And if there's a day where you've scheduled in to work but you've decided not to, you can make up for it at some point down the line. Like, you know, a future event might get cancelled or something. So
yeah,
like, just not beating yourself up about those kinds of things, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, the good thing about the job that I chose is it is 9 to 5, which definitely helps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've got a side hustle, I wouldn't recommend working at a startup because startups are like long hours and not very good pay.
Yeah,
it is easier to like work for an established firm or work for corporate and just have your set hours and like be able to leave things at the office. Otherwise it can be quite difficult.
Yeah, I know what you mean. My last job was it was kind of a startup as part of a bigger company. Like, they were entering a new market, so the UK was a new market for them. And it really did feel like a startup, and you're kind of expected to do so much, and almost everybody and their role, they had more to do than they had hours in the day, in a way. And you all want to see that, you want to make an impact and make it succeed in the market. So it's kind of like, it's really hard to draw boundaries with your job, I find. But then on the flip side, it teaches you so much about just getting started with something brand new, entering a new market. So I kind of know what you mean. But in a sense, I did learn a lot from it, in a way. But yeah, I totally know what you mean in terms of like being able to structure your day. Okay, and then any other kind of like wellness things that you adopt to kind of keep your mindset strong? So we spoke a little bit about meditation. Any other things that you recommend?
I do. So I have the Calm app. Someone gave me a code for that. So I do my little 10 minutes in the morning, my 10 minutes in the evening. I definitely noticed that diet makes a big difference.
Yes.
Which is tricky because, you know, sometimes if you're in the office, all you're looking forward to is lunch.
Yeah.
And if you've got to have a salad, it's just not much to look forward to.
And especially in a tech company when they stock their kitchens with all these treats.
Yeah. But I've noticed that cutting down sugar and carbs was the most helpful thing for me. So a lot of people go vegan and they try to cut out meat and things. Which I do appreciate, but it's difficult if you're also cutting out carbs and sugar. And I just felt like carbs and sugar made a bigger difference to me personally. And everyone's different, so that. And then trying out sort of like different little treatments here and there. Like, I quite like flotation tanks.
I really want to do this. Yeah. I'm hearing a lot about this lately.
I mean, if you're going through a phase where you're really struggling to sleep, that is amazing.
Wow.
Like, it's not relaxing while you're in it.
Well, this is what I wondered, because you're enclosed in this like egg thing, right? And then you're just floating in water. And I'm thinking, God, what if that collapses on me? What if I fall asleep and sink? I don't know.
Yeah, I went through a really weird phase recently where I've become scared of the dark again in the last year.
Oh, really?
I don't know where it's come from. It's obviously some subconscious thing.
Yeah.
So getting into that tank in like pitch darkness.
Is it pitch black then when you're in there?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
I've been asking them to leave the LEDs on recently.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd like that either.
Yeah, because it's meant to be sensory deprivation.
Right.
So you have no senses whatsoever. Oh. So it's literally like you're floating in space, but you notice every little bit of tension that you have.
Wow.
Because, you know, gravity is removed, so suddenly your shoulders, you're like, oh wow, I carry so much tension in my shoulders, I didn't realize. But then you come out and you just have the best night's sleep ever.
Wow. And so how long do the sessions last for? Like
an hour?
And do you kind of feel that you fall asleep, or you're just kind of, it's like you're meditating?
So I first found out about them through my blog, because I was talking to the guy that runs them in Vauxhall, and he said the first two are quite difficult, and it's like a skill that you kind of get better at, because you think that just lying there, it's quite easy, but it's actually quite difficult because it's not super comfortable.
Well,
and it's hard to like just try and tune out and observe your thoughts rather than being really kind of sort of restless and frustrated and uncomfortable. So it does take at least 3 or 4 goes to get used to it.
Okay.
Because he runs like a subscription service,
right,
so that you can get it discounted that way.
Mm.
And yeah, it's definitely something that you have to get used to before you can find it calming.
Yeah, I really want to try it though. It sounds very unique.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah. Okay, so we are coming up to time now, and usually at the end I do a little quick fire round. So the first question, so it's just 3 questions. So the first one is, what's the best book that you've ever read?
The best book I've ever read?
Yeah.
Apart from Harry Potter.
Haven't had that one as an answer yet, so you could give me that one.
The one that I'm reading at the moment is Believe, Build, Become.
Okay.
By the woman that founded the Albright Centre.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, have you been there?
Yes, I used to be a member there, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like their events.
Debbie Wasco.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a pitch day recently, which is where I picked up the book. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really good because it's, you know, it's targeted specifically at women wanting to start their own business. And they're impressive characters themselves.
So yeah, they are.
It's definitely a must read.
Yeah, and they're both so different as well. I actually did the Academy, which is like a 10-week, well, back then it was a 10-week program to help kind of start your business. just for the listeners, we've got the cutest dog with us. We've just been like, she's on Nia's lap and she's so cute. She's like the tiniest little poodle.
She was being well behaved until now.
It's all right. They're so different as well. I did their 10-week program to help start a business, and that was amazing. And yeah, their club and what they're trying to do is amazing.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
Yeah.
And some of the events are free as well, so
yes,
check
those
out if you haven't.
Yeah. She's wriggling away. Okay, second question is, this podcast is called the Well and Wild Podcast, and I called it that because I believe that to be well in life you need to do some wild things sometimes and go against the norm. So what's the wildest thing you've ever done?
I mean, the wildest thing I've ever done in the name of wellness is the Cambo, which was sticking the frog poison into burns on my arm.
Oh my god. So tell me a bit more about this. What's that all about?
So this guy who started it in London, they're called Planet Cambo.
Okay.
I really recommend him. John's like such a lovely guy.
Yeah.
And he trained in Mexico with these shaman that do it over there, and apparently they do it it's like an indigenous tribal practice.
Okay.
And they do it before they hunt. And it boosts your stamina, and apparently it sort of resets the system in a way.
Okay.
It's kind of similar to CBD in that, you know, it's one of these ancient practices where a lot of the research is still emerging.
Yeah.
But even if you look into the science of what's actually in Cambo itself, it's quite impressive. Like, it has a lot of neuropeptides.
Yeah.
You know, compounds with therapeutic benefits. So the burns are how you apply it, because you can't eat it and you can't inhale it.
Right.
It's technically a poison, so it will kill you if you take it that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, there are contraindications, like you can't do it if you're pregnant, you can't do it if you've got high blood pressure or a heart problem.
Right.
But if you're fit and healthy, then it should be okay. But obviously go and do your research before you try something like this.
Okay, wow, yeah. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, so that's how they apply it, because that's how it enters your system.
Right. Oh, okay.
And you vomit into a bucket for about 10 minutes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Wow. that is crazy.
It's definitely some kind of, you know, it's got to be an immune boosting benefit there.
Did you feel any better after?
You do feel amazing after.
Really?
They call it the Cambo Afterglow, and they say it lasts for about 3 days. So they've got quite a few athletes promoting it on their page at the moment, because you go to the gym and you feel stronger, you feel more energized, you have got a lot of stamina.
Yeah.
So yeah, I felt really good.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you felt good after that experience.
It would be a shame if I didn't.
Yeah.
Because they do call it an ordeal medicine.
Okay.
You go through like a bit of an ordeal.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it.
Yeah. But it does go back to the like kind of mental strength training.
Yeah.
It's good for that as well, because you kind of, so, you know, you see people that do it, and if you tell yourself that this is going to be awful, then you go through an awful time. Whereas if you just say, so like the third time I did it, I was just prepared, and I was like, you know, it doesn't have to be an ordeal. It's as big an ordeal as I make it.
Yeah.
And it was just so much easier that time.
Wow. that's amazing. Okay. And then final question, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
Best piece of advice.
Yeah. Or sometimes I say, what's the mantra that you live by? It's kind of the same question.
The mantra that I live by. I need to think about this. I mean, I think especially because I went into medicine kind of not sure if that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I felt like I let other kind of things and people make the decision for me.
Yes.
You know, I was worried about what other people wanted and what other people would think. And, you know, medicine's an impressive thing in terms of what you get to tell other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mantra these days is much more, what do I want to do for me?
Yeah.
And even if it's, you know, something that I don't know what the longevity of it is, I want to try as many things as possible, which I feel like I have done. You know, I've tried so many different jobs, which a lot of people would frown at, and you know, there are employers that might frown at that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't particularly think that's a bad thing, because there's always, equally on the other hand, employers that will see that as a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's probably the type of employer that I'd fit in better with anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, doing things for you and like making decisions for you in the moment.
Yeah, I love that, and I really, really, really agree with that. And I think that if you're sticking in a job that you don't like, and just because you've not been there a year or something, and you don't want your career, your CV to look like you've been job hopping, I think it's so silly, because I personally would perform completely differently in a job that I don't enjoy versus one that I do enjoy. So they're missing out as well on, like, they could have a better person that loves the job performing better than just me sticking there just to, you know, get some longevity for the role, if that makes sense.
And like, it is also perspective and circumstance dependent. Like, you know, I have been told by like a friend before that, oh, it's so millennial to like think that you can enjoy your job, just like take a job and suck it up like everyone, and you know, at the end of the day it pays the bills, and you know, like, you're welcome to that perspective.
Yeah.
But everybody is different. You've got one life. If you feel like you want to try something else, whether or not you're seen as like an entitled millennial, like, it's all perspective. So
it is, and that's just such a fixed mindset view, I think. And like, it is true, you can find something you love, so why not go and try and do that. I think
I think experience is so valuable, and like, you never know what's going to happen in the future, so you can have like the most planned out roadmap to your life ever, and it's not going to go that way.
No, exactly. I am not a date person or an age person, like, you need to do this by this age. I think that's actually quite dangerous to think like that. I agree. Okay, amazing. And so where can the listeners find you and your brand?
So they can find my blog at niafaraway.com. So Nia's N-I-A, and then just faraway. And my brand is Eugenio. So there's a link to that on my Nia Faraway Instagram page.
Nice. And I'll also link this in the show notes as well, so the listeners can go and find you there. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed the episode. I feel like we jumped around quite a bit, but definitely a lot of value and learning from Nia's story and how she kind of picked herself back up from feeling in such a rut after studying medicine and it not being necessarily what she wanted to do. I hope that you can take away a lot of things from her story in terms of what to do in that situation and how you can go and explore other paths and how the one that you started with, it doesn't necessarily have to be the one that you ended with. But yes, I hope that you enjoyed it, and please be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss any future episodes, and I will chat to you next week. Have an amazing week.